Joshua Carty has it blocked again. This time Jordan Davis, the big man, looks for the icing on one big cake. Eagles hang on.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Joe Davis with the call yesterday on Fox. One big cake. One big cake. If I had to paraphrase, the now disgraced former chairman of WWE, Vince McMahon, who once described what The Rock was cooking in The Rock's oven as being a big pile of feces. That's what the cake was, if you bet the Rams. A big steaming pile of feces. And that he said that's how he pronounced it. It still stuck with me. It's still to this day. Gotta love the attitude era. And if you bet the Rams, that cake was rotten. As Jordan Davis brought that kick back yesterday. And if you bet the Eagles, then you know what? That's the most delicious son of a bitch you've ever had. That's the best cake you ever had in your life. As Jordan Davis rumbles, bumbles, and stumbles his way into the end zone to cover the spread for the Philadelphia Eagles. So going to break, I said, the result of the game is great for the Eagles because they win. But even if Joshua Carty's field goal had been good and the Rams had won 29-27, I would still feel the way I do about the Philadelphia Eagles. Because the second half of that game shows that this offense can absolutely put the foot down on the pedal and accelerate when needed. And it's one of the things that's going to be maddening about the Eagles over the balance of the season. And what's been maddening about them in the Jalen Hurts era. Like, they only turn it on when they feel like they have to. Otherwise, they can pretty much cruise to victory and just play boring football and not turn the football over. Now, A.J. Brown's doing his best to get that changed. Brown asked post-game about Hurts' conversation with Petullo on the sidelines, and A.J. Brown, I'm paraphrasing, saying, yeah, we get way too conservative early in games. And he's right. But you can't argue with results. The Eagles, in their last 20 games, are 19-1. 19-1. And they have yet to lose one game where Hurts, Saquon, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith all play. Undefeated with those guys on the field. So who cares how they start games? Like, I get it. I mean, I do because I love fantasy football. And, like, I've got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts. I do a million leagues. I'd like for them to score more points. But in the NFL, it's not the BCS. It's about wins and losses. They win every game. Like, they literally win. They win every game. 3-0. Defending Super Bowl champs. All to the DJ Khaled. All they do is win. It's ridiculous. Their Super Bowl price is plus 700, the Eagles. And I just find this funny. And maybe I'm the only one. The Bills are the favorites. Plus 425. I'm being dead serious right now. If I told you, the person watching, you, the person listening, Eagles-Bills Super Bowl, pick the winner of the game. Who's taking Buffalo? Who's taking the Bills? Ravens-Eagles. Who's taking Baltimore? Lamar Jackson in a huge spot against that team? The team that yaks all the games away in the big spot or the team that wins all the games in the big spot? Give me a break. And I love the Chiefs more than anybody. And maybe the Chiefs end up rounding into form. That version of the Chiefs that played last night against the Giants, we'll see when Worthy and Rice gets back, the Eagles would have beaten them by 20 last night. And I know they played last week, and maybe you make the case the Chiefs could have won if Kelce catches that ball. Come on. Stop. Do my best Mike Ditka impersonation from 15 years ago. Stop it. Best bet on the board to win the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles. As for the losers of the game, the Los Angeles Rams. So close, but yet so far. I thought Matthew Stafford played pretty well. Puka Nacua is an absolute stud. Jared Verse had the strip sack on Pryor that got the right tackle benched, who came in for Lane Johnson, and then Fred Johnson, Lane's brother, I don't think that's true, comes in and stabilizes the line. You got good performances from your stud LA Rams players. Devontae Adams was great, especially early in the game. Quinyon Mitchell kind of locked him up in the second half of the game. So the Rams players, I thought, played very well. You can put the loss on, you know, the offense for failing to score more touchdowns and put this game away in the first half. I did not like the way Sean McVay handled some of these fourth down situations in this game. I thought he was conservative when he needed to be aggressive. Aggressive when he needed to be conservative. And to me, the worst call was the fourth and one play on the Eagles 46 in the fourth quarter, where down both of his starting guards, decided to run the ball with Kyren Williams straight up the middle of the field. Of course it gets stuffed by Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, the two Georgia Bulldogs. Of course that happens. And then on the first field goal block, because they got stuffed on the previous fourth down, he sends out the field goal unit. Like, I get it, like, you want to go up by eight? Like, just go win the game right there. Like, go win the game. I hated that from Sean McVay. And, of course, the field goal gets blocked. I thought McVay psyched himself out. And McVay is a great coach. This is not meant to be, like, burial of Sean McVay. I expect better from Sean McVay. And he's been better as his coaching career has gone on with some of these fourth down decisions. I did not think that he did a good job yesterday. And just to punch the point home on the Philadelphia Eagles, as we kind of look at the landscape of the NFC. The Rams, despite that loss yesterday, I think they're the best team in the NFC West. The news came down a couple hours ago that Nick Bosa, just a gigantic loss for 3-0 San Francisco, who beat the Cardinals in a terrible football game yesterday. Just a brutal, brutal watch. Especially if you have Cardinals to win the NFC West like me. Just an inexcusable loss for the Cardinals. But anyway, Nick Bosa is going to miss the rest of the year for the 49ers. And I know San Fran started 3-0, and they've won a couple games without Brock Purdy. No Juwan Jennings yesterday. Good job by them getting to 3-0. Without Nick Bosa, I just struggle with how this defense is going to get stops in big spots. The best player on that defense, obviously, Nick Bosa. Sam Darnold's still the quarterback of Seattle, and they don't get to play the New Orleans Saints at home every week. And the Arizona Cardinals are like the TV show Lost. Great concept, terrible execution. The Vikings have Carson Wentz currently as their quarterback. We'll see what happens with the Detroit Lions tonight. The Bucs are 3-0, and we'll see what happens this Sunday. I think the Eagles are way better than these teams. And then there's the team that Femi and others tried to tell you, this is actually the best team in football. This is the best team in the NFC. You bet on this Monday. That team, now the 2-1 Green Bay Packers. Everybody loved and still loves the Green Bay Packers. What happened to Jordan and company yesterday? Losing 13-10 on the road in Cleveland. An inexplicable loss for the Green Bay Packers. Shout out to me with the under of the game. We like that. And also shout out to us for picking the Bills in Survivor. And I'm sorry to anyone who had Green Bay, but I could see you sick. Turn out the lights. The party's over. We loved it. We danced on your grave with the Packers losing. We loved it for Survivor since we had already advanced. I don't even know how the hell this happened. I understand the Packers barely scored in this game. The Browns had 0 points until the final couple minutes. And then all of a sudden they win the game 13-10. Like, an unbelievable closing sequence in this game for the Cleveland Browns. And an unbelievable closing sequence for the Green Bay Packers. And just on Cleveland, this is way more about Green Bay, the big story, but we need to say this about the Browns. That defense is legitimately awesome. And we told you all week last week that the reason why the Browns were getting bet like they were, people are like, oh my God, how could this happen? The reason, of course, is because the Browns defense had been awesome to start the year. And what happened with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in week two felt like it was extremely unlucky for Cleveland. And that defense showed up and showed out. Mason Graham looks like a stud. Carson Schweisinger looks like a stud. Miles Garrett's like an alien. That defense is legit for the Cleveland Browns. And they at least are an interesting team moving forward this season, even if we don't think they'll make the playoffs. It is still inexcusable for the Packers to lose that game. Jordan Love, and I love Love. I'm a bigger Jordan Love fan than most, averaged 1.9 yards per pass attempt yesterday. How is that possible? They couldn't run the ball at all yesterday. And look, the Browns defense shut down Chase Brown in week one. Okay, whatever. Shut down Derrick Henry in week two. So maybe it shouldn't come as a huge surprise that they shut down Josh Jacobs in week three. But still, that's not a great sign for the Green Bay Packers, that you can't do anything on offense in this game. And if you emerge victorious, okay, you got away with it. They didn't get away with it. They lost that game yesterday in brutal, brutal fashion and drop to 2-1. Packers offensive lineman, Rasheed Walker. This is probably the first and only time we'll ever mention Rasheed Walker on the show. Said last week that he thinks the Packers will go undefeated. I mean, I got freezing cold take for my Micah Parsons won't get traded take. Where's Rasheed Walker? They immediately lost after that prediction. Obviously ridiculous. And the Packers may be believing their own press clippings. I thought Micah Parsons said it more succinctly and more accurately after the game when he said, and I quote, "We bleeped the bed." And Parsons is right. They did bleep the bed. But he's right about something else that he said as well. Championship teams have games like this throughout the season. And they do. And I like the Eagles. Like, I like the Eagles more than I like Green Bay. The Eagles are not going undefeated either. The Eagles will lose at least one game this season. At least one. Probably two, maybe three, maybe four. We'll see. That's just what happens over the balance of a 17-game regular season. But I did not like the signs for Green Bay yesterday on the offensive side of the ball. Couldn't move it at all through the air. Couldn't move it at all on the ground. I don't care how good that Browns defense is. Lamar still managed to throw for four touchdowns. I expect better from Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. I like the Eagles more than Green Bay as far as the NFC is concerned. Now, a potential get-right spot does exist for Green Bay because on Sunday night this week, they travel to Micah Parsons' old stomping grounds to take on the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys. And Dallas will be without the services of star receiver CeeDee Lamb in that game. Lamb, high ankle sprain, going to miss at least the next two games. Not going to be placed on injured reserve, so probably won't miss four games, but going to miss at least the next two games. And I got a huge laugh out of, like, everyone. Oh, yeah, maybe he'll play next week. Really? With the high ankle sprain? Not a chance. 0% chance that that happens. And, of course, it won't. And once CeeDee Lamb left, also, like, why the hell is CeeDee Lamb, like, running the ball out of the backfield? Like he's Emmitt Smith. What is that from Brian Schottenheimer and Clayton Adams? Because CeeDee didn't get hurt on a reception. He got hurt on a rushing attempt. And not even, like, an end-around. No. They handed him the ball like he's Javonte Williams. I don't understand what the hell that is. And once he leaves the game, you kind of get that pit in your stomach if you bet the Dallas Cowboys. And it turned out to be the right feeling because the Bears handle Dallas. Chicago wins yesterday, gets its first win of the season, first win for Ben Johnson as Bears head coach. The Bears win 31-14. I think it's the best game Caleb Williams has played as a pro. And the first game in Caleb Williams' NFL career where he did not get sacked even one time. Kind of feels like the Cowboys might wish they had Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence. Just saying. And that is a cathartic win for for the city of Chicago, a cathartic win for Caleb Williams, a cathartic win for Ben Johnson, especially because it came at the expense of clueless and overmatched Cowboys defensive coordinator, the former head coach of the Chicago Bears, that loser. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but still a loser as far as football is concerned, Matt Eberflus. Caleb Williams, 298 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and some of the best throws that you'll ever see a quarterback make, including that 62-air-yard throw to Luther Burden on a dime on the flea flicker. But was that performance for real from the Chicago Bears? I'll answer that question on the other side, and we'll continue to rip through Week 3 NFL Sunday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.